This is the early Pesach Passover feast from McKinsey in the Oregon Cascades. And I am Stefan Yah of Yahweh Yahweh. And we have a small group here in cabins and lodge, and the fireplace is going at times, except on the Sabbath day. And we're keeping the feast of Passover as commanded in the judgments directly following the Ten Commandments, but part of the entire law that was given originally there to Moses by the Son, Yahusha, before he came to earth, born of a virgin. The Son spoke in the Father's place. And in Exodus 23, we read about the feast days. One of the initial places, actually, the Sabbath is first mentioned in Genesis chapter 1, where the Father set it apart in Genesis 2. So Exodus 23:12 for you today at this feast. 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest. That thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. That's what we're doing here, is getting refreshed. And in all these things that I have said unto you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other Elohim, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. Also see Joshua 23:7. 3 times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. So these, the Hagag Moedim, the traveling feasts, 3 times. And the first one, I would assume, is the most important, for it depicts the salvation of all men and women, all mankind. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread, or the word is actually, thou shalt celebrate the feast of unleavened bread. And I'm reading from the King James Version and trying to restore it to the proper rendition, the Hebrew rendition. Thou shalt celebrate the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee on the time appointed, in the month of Aviv. For in it, and notice it didn't say Nisan, even though Nisan is mentioned later on in Scripture. And I don't know why, but that was in the King James. For in the month of Aviv, thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. That means to bring an offering. In the feast of harvest, so that's the second feast, commonly called Pentecost, or in Hebrew, Shavuot. Shavuot, and the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, in the feast of ingathering, or the feast of Sukkot, or tabernacles, the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the season, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. King James says in the end of the year. I can't default the King James because it's closer and it comes from the original and doesn't cut out any scriptures like the Alexandrian texts. So the Feast of Harvest was Pentecost, which thou hast sown in the field, and the Feast of Ingathering, which is in the end of the year when thou hast gathered in the laborers out of the field. 3 times in the year all thy males shall appear before Yahweh Elohim. And I look in Deuteronomy 16:13, and it says the whole family needs to be there, and the servants and all. Everyone needs to come up to the feast. Also, you read in Deuteronomy 12:15, of course, and Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, or Nehemiah, that they were all present. Let's see what other references we have here. Numbers 15:24. And Genesis 18, verse 8. So this goes back. The law was only being codified here, put down on the tables of stone, but it existed from time past, from the beginning. And so we're not going to talk about what beginning means, or even that it's to be kept forever. The law is to be kept forever. And I think that that's self-explanatory there anyway. In verse 33, they shall not dwell in the land. Thou shalt make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land, nor with their Elohim. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their Elohim, it will surely be a snare unto thee. As we see later on that Solomon became mixed up with all different kinds of worship. And then we're going to also be going to different passages where the feast days are kept by Joshua, by Josiah, and Hezekiah, and Nehemiah. And of course, the feasts were kept by David even. So Passover is all about remembering that the children came out of Egypt, came out of bondage. They killed the Passover and applied the lamb here in verse 22. That's 12:22. You take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel, this blood from the lamb there, the Passover lamb, and strike it, the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And that was back then. Now we have Messiah is our Passover lamb, of course. Yahushua, Messiah, died for us on the tree, and he was the perfect lamb shed for the salvation of all mankind. It says, none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning on that Passover night thousands of years ago. Yahweh will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel, there's a Pentecostal song, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. We have songs here that go back over 100 years from the Pentecostal hymnal, and we just love these old songs. Not all of them, but a couple of them are really, really good. And there's Power in the Blood, another great hymn that we love to sing. We'll have to do that here at this feast. Yahweh will pass through to smite the Egyptians when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts. Yahweh will pass over and pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your house to smite you. You will observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And then you tell your children, it says there, and tell them that it is the sacrifice of Yahweh's Passover who passed over the houses of the children of in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. The people bowed the head and worshipped. And at midnight, in verse 29, Yahweh smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt from the firstborn of Pharaoh. And you could read the rest of that. So we have the type here, the shadow, which prefigured the first coming of the Messiah, Yahushua, as he came to this earth, to praise Yahweh, that he shed his blood on the tree at Calvary for all mankind. And if you don't know that, then find out. We have lots of resources. Read the scriptures. Read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, especially Matthew 26, 7 and 8. And so Passover is one of the important feast days. And at this time, since we're keeping the earlier Passover, and we hope you're feeling comfortable down there, wherever you are, in a tent or something, up in the city maybe. I noticed the passage, by the way, in 1 Samuel, we're going to address later in 1 Samuel 16, that might be a hang-up for some. We hear this from Christians, that there's only internal, that Yahweh has a relationship with us, and it's internal, and there's nothing external at all about it. And one of the scriptures that might back it up is 1 Samuel 16. But Yahweh said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, but because I have refused him, for Yahweh seeth not as a man seeth. For man looks on the outer appearance. So man looks on the outward appearance, but Yahweh looketh on the heart. Well, that's where the problem begins, is in the heart. As we know, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's quoting from the scriptures there. And I think Ecclesiastes 7:3 also would help clarify that. But Yahweh and his law throughout the Old and New Testament consisting of over 1,050 commands, imperatives, that these indeed are outward things that we do, such as being immersed or baptized, or some erroneously say mikvah, which is actually Rakatz or Tubal in Hebrew. So, let's see. I want to first of all set it up where we're at here. We're in the Cascades of the Pacific Northwest. And we came up around the 14th of Aviv. The feast is to be kept from the 14th as we go back to Exodus chapter 12 now and see the setup for that. You can read all the instructions and how to keep the feast days, the feast of Pesach, that is, or Passover. It says in 12:18, Exodus 12:18, or Shemot is the proper word, Shemot 12:18, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, and the Hebrew word there is Ba'arev, which means sunset. It doesn't mean twilight, although many observe that way. There's a whole bunch of calendars that people use, and we shouldn't be judging each other about that, judging them to eternal condemnation or to eternal life, either way, to say that I'm perfect because I keep this calendar and you're not because you don't. It's good to be convinced and convicted, and to be convinced by the truth, isn't it? So we have to keep studying. Some are keeping the Passover feast here a month after we are, and that was quite a study based on the Genesis 1:14, speaking of that the moon and the stars and the sun are there as our timepieces, and actually for the moed to determine the feast days, not the crops necessarily, but feast days. Let's see if I can pick that up for you. 1:14 of Bereshit, Genesis. Yahweh said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, or moeds, and for days and years." Also, that Ecclesiastes 1:6, chapter 1, verse 6 is applicable, and Psalm 104, verse 19. "And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. Yahweh made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, that is for earth people, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And Yahweh set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the night and over the day, and to divide the light from the darkness. And Yahweh saw that it was good. The evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then he created the waters in that next passage. Back to, as we switch back here, if you don't mind jumping back to Exodus 12, all the instructions on how to keep the feast of Passover or Pesach are given here. It says, "In the first month, in the 14th day of the month at even, you shall eat unleavened bread." And also in another place, in Leviticus 23, or Vayikra 23, addressed to all the children of Israel, it says to have a pure convocation as well. It's not just about eating, as many preachers have claimed, that the only thing that Passover is for, or unleavened bread is for, is just about eating. It clearly says that we are to have a convocation, or assembly, or other words to that effect. It's a corporate gathering. I like that word, corporate, not just a private one, although sometimes maybe it'll work out that way, that's the only way we can. We don't have anybody left. We're last of the Mohicans, as it were. There's not very many of us left taking this seriously. "But you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even," and I think that is inclusive to the end of the 21st day of the month at even. Also see 2 Chronicles 30:21, which we are going to go to here shortly. And I think that was the feast with Hezekiah, maybe. But anyway, we'll cover it. "7 days shall there be no leaven found in your house, for whosoever eats that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether it be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitation. You shall eat unleavened bread." So we have done this. We've looked at all the ingredients on the packages, if we're eating that kind of stuff. If you're a vegetarian, then it probably doesn't matter at all. And anyway, we don't want any yeast found. Also, no baking powder, I believe. And some even go so far as sodium bicarbonate or baking soda, that they think that's a leavening agent as well. Water, none of these ingredients are, well, none of them would be any good without water. So is water a leavening agent? And truly, a yeast is a leavening agent. So that is clear. So where the scripture is clear, we need to be clear. And where the scripture is vague, we need to be gray area or vague. We read Exodus. We were keeping quite a wonderful feast here at a camp, being earlier in the year here, in the third common month. There's some snow about us yet at this elevation of 2,000 feet. And we have beautiful surroundings here, and very fine appointments, good buildings, good, clean for the most part. There are some little varmint, little tiny mice that run around, and they get into your possessions at night if you're not careful, or into the kitchen especially. We want to cleanse the kitchen thoroughly every time we eat, because they may be about somewhere, or squirrels or chipmunks, and we take extra measures there to make sure everything is sanitized. But if they come into your cabin or your tent at night and then start stirring around, they might keep you awake, and so that's kind of a problem. And it's hard enough to stay alert and awake and all that during the day, but they make things worse. So I guess that's the challenge. We have trails here during this time of year when winter is sort of being spent. We can't go to that many places, but there's a lovely little waterfall about a half mile away, an easy trail. And there was a beautiful little trail that went out to a volcanic lava bed, and it just seemed a natural spot to go praise Yahweh at that point. It was so peaceful, and it was conducive to praising the Almighty Yahweh, because we are beholding His creations. We're looking at the wonderful creations of Yahweh and beholding His beauty. Psalm 19 is could be possibly the theme for these feasts. You know, later it says the law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul, or the Torah is perfect. But the verse 1 in Psalm 19, before we get up into our Passover in Chronicles, Psalm 19, the heavens declare the esteem of Yahweh. I'm changing the word glory to esteem, or the power. Heavens declare the power of Yahweh, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And their words, so we behold creation. These are the signs that Yahweh created each of us individually. So in them has He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and His circuit, or the circuit of this earth going around the sun, His circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hidden from the heat thereof. The Torah of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes, which includes feast days, are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh, that is, Ten Commandments, are pure. Or is the commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean. What does it do? Enduring forever. And by the way, we do have our opponents accusing us of having obeyed our Almighty Yahweh just out of fear. And that is one possible motivation, but more than that is love, dedication. Out of respect and out of awe for His sovereignty and His authority, that's why we are keeping His feast days and keeping His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous, as John says. So that, and to continue, the judgments, or the right rulings, or the privileges, the judgments we found there in Exodus 21 through 23. The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. It's great rewards. There's great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Don't let him have dominion over me, then I shall be upright, and I shall be innocent from that great transgression. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Yahweh, my strength and redeemer. So praise Yahweh for the beauty that his heavens declare his creation, that he didn't create us all with crazy mixed-up things, finding an ear mounted on the knee where it wouldn't do any good, or an Adam's apple, or, you know, winding up on our back or some inappropriate place. He created us with perfect design. Even the animals, every animal seems to have a nose on his face, and the two eyes are adjacent to that. So I don't see any need for saying that there is no creator. It's so beautiful. And as we behold and get together with Yahweh's wonderful people at these feasts, and especially at this time of year, it's so wonderful, such a time for families to get better cohesion and to be instructed to relax more. I think that the relaxation is a very part of things to get away from the push of society of today. It's very pushy and too demanding. And not always. It's good to work hard, of course. Put in a good 40-hour work week, or more or less. And to provide for ourselves, the family, and for the assembly. And for others, too, that who are hurting out there. Some are homeless. Some are homeless due to no cause of their own. I'm going to go to 2 Chronicles 30. And so that we need to... Also, if we have extra tithes left over from helping the immediate priorities, then we can help them as well, which we've been doing. We have helped the homeless, a couple of homeless people here in the past year, and I think we've made a difference in their lives. And they didn't come up to the feast yet, but we're hoping that they'll study it out and become convinced and then convicted and then just love to come up to the feast. There's nothing tough about it. In all of Yahweh's commandments, statutes, and judgments, he doesn't ask us, even in one place, to stand on our heads and wiggle our ears and lean on your left ear and then your right. He doesn't say anything crazy like that. It's a practical command, not a suggestion, but it's an invitation and a convocation. Come on up and keep the feast of Passover, Shavuot, and Sukkot, and also all the other feasts too, the other five feasts. Meaning, I'm probably going to forget one, but the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which shows Satan being cast out at the end of the age, and also the earlier meanings there, the Atonement, in Leviticus 16, I think it is. And, of course, Yom Teruah was before that, or the blowing of trumpets. You don't have to listen to anything we tell you. Just read the word. Thank you. Shalom.